You are listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. I am Shell, and I'm doing this interview today with Pugins, and she works for AsianAid. To begin with, for those who may not be familiar with AsianAid, can you tell us a little about the organization and the communities that you are working with?
Sure. So AsianAid is an Australian-based organization, has been around for 60 years. The countries that we primarily work in are India, Bangladesh, Nepal, and Cambodia. It's a faith-based, child-focused organization. So it's all about the kids.
Oh, wonderful.
So we help with kids' education. We support their families through livelihood and skills training so that parents and caregivers are able to take care of their children and the communities. We also, there's a lot of focus on helping children not just study well, but stay healthy, be involved in their communities, raise their voice against any injustice that they see. So we focus on all-round development of children in the communities that we work in.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's so great. And we get you on a few times every year, and it's wonderful to hear from you.
Yeah.
When we talk about eye health, because that's what you wanted to focus in on today. So in these communities, what are some of the biggest challenges that the children and the families are facing?
The reason why eye health has become one of our main focuses is because there is such a huge gap there. I was just looking at, you know, numbers, and 50%, that's more than half actually in these countries, children who have eye issues, it could be blurry vision, these are all treatable conditions, more than 50% of children go untreated. And that is a huge gap, and that's what we're trying to see what we can do. So we have so many health camps happening in our schools, in our communities, and eye health has become a big part of that. One of the main reasons is obviously parents, their main focus is survival and putting food on the table, and, you know, lack of awareness on how bad poor eye vision can affect children.
Yeah, so a child who doesn't get their vision tended to early on, what can happen?
One of the things is they lose their confidence in education. So when already education is not a priority in these families, there's a very real risk that they drop out of school. So they, you know, parents prefer, oh, you're not able to study, you might as well come and help us with our work and earn an extra income. So that is a very real risk with us. And so that's what we're trying to stop, to help kids stay in school. You know, they get regular eye checkups.
Yes.
And then there's follow-ups as well. So a child, they know, so the parents know that, okay, this is an issue my child is facing. They're aware of it now. And then every year they're encouraged to stay on top of it and make sure the child is looked after.
Can you walk me through like a day, I guess, in the way that you would go to a specific school and then do screening at the school, or do you bring children to you? How does that all work?
So there are two contexts to this. One is, of course, as you mentioned, the schools. So because we work in several schools, some of these schools are in remote areas and some in urban contexts. So yes, we do have doctors and a team that goes into these schools regularly. And again, the school checkups are not just for the kids. There's also parents and community members who are free to come and get themselves checked as well. So we have basic height, weight, sugar and blood pressure checks, and then some more tests. And then the eye health is another big part of that. So they go through that one by one through the school rooms and get themselves checked and then follow up if needed. In communities where we work among families, again, it's very similar, but I would say the interesting thing is when we want to let them know that, you know, there's an eye health camp happening, say, in this common area or in this hall or in this government school, public school, they go around door to door inviting people saying, you know, this is what's happening on this day. It's free. Come and get yourself and your families checked. There's interesting. Have you heard of these tuk-tuks and auto rickshaws here? So they go around with a loudspeaker, you know,
oh,
street
yeah.
by street, invite advising people. So that's how it's done. And there's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of teamwork. There's community workers involved. There's obviously medical professionals, our staff, teachers. A lot of people get together to get this going.
Beyond treating the immediate problem, how do these health camps affect the wider community then?
There's a lot. So depending on which country and where we are at, there are so many different issues. So for example, in Nepal, uterine prolapse is another big problem. Women suffer a lot. They go through so much pain because of that. And they go untreated for decades, not even years. There are 60, 70-year-old women who have suffered from their 20s. And so sometimes that's their first point of contact where they realize, oh, this is actually treatable. So I've been to a couple of these clinics in these really remote areas. These women have barely met a doctor. So it's really, it gives us hope that these camps are actually meeting people where the need is and where, you know, we are making a real change for them because their life changes after that treatment.
So what is it that you are doing specifically for your role that helps to facilitate all of this?
So one of my main interests, as well as my role, is communicating what the impact on the field is, finding these stories and the impact that we're having in these different projects, in these different countries, and then communicating that back to our supporters. I'm seeing firsthand where our support is going to, what it's being used for, and how many people are being impacted and blessed because of that.
Wonderful. Do you have some stories that you'd like to share with us?
Of course. So on iHealth, there was a little girl called Arushi. She's from Nepal, and she lives in a really remote region, village. And when I say remote, I mean you have to walk one day to get to, you know, a town.
Wow.
And obviously they don't have public transport there, or even, of course, no private transport. So walking is the way. So that's how far-flung these villages are. So she went to a health camp at a nearby school recently and found out she's 8 years old. And she wasn't able to see the board in school. And she wasn't able to read properly, and she had all these issues, and it looked like her parents were thinking, oh, maybe she's not good at studying, and, you know, what do we do? But at this camp is when they found out that, oh, she actually had, it's a very treatable condition that a lot of us have, and she just needed a pair of glasses. That's all she needed to sort this out. So at the end of the day, she got her prescription. And then in a few days, they went to her house. Our staff went to her house and gave her her new prescription glasses. And they reported that she was so happy with that. And she treated it like a little baby, the way she was holding the glasses.
Wow, wonderful.
That made a big difference for her.
Oh, that's awesome.
Another similar one. There are a couple of boys in Bangladesh who are able to get their overall health checkups and glasses done. And the other thing that I wanted to say is that because of our focus on not just child health, education, but their overall development, in Bangladesh, in the camps there, a couple of boys were able to help in the organization and conducting of the camps itself. So these two young boys went door to door inviting people in their community to come and get themselves checked. And they helped throughout the camps, helping people line up, helping people get whatever they needed. So that is the other side of, you know, these camps that are very impactful. It's not just a one day, one, one thing, but it's a sustainable thing that keeps, you know, getting. Every year, it keeps getting bigger and more impactful.
Wow. So do you use health professionals and communities that are local around you, or are you outsourcing everything from other countries to bring in doctors and the equipment and that sort of thing?
So the doctors and the professionals are local. So depending on where we're conducting the camp, if we have tie-ups with really good hospitals in these countries, So a lot of the doctors and nurses and even volunteers come from there. So they're pretty local, and so they understand the context of the country we're working in. They understand the medical issues that are very, unique to some of these places. So that is an important aspect of it. The equipment, again, a lot of the hospitals do have equipment. We have some portable equipment that AsianAid has supported for and bought them. So it's a mix of both. But the professionals, the doctors, the healthcare workers, sometimes even healthcare officials from the government who are involved, they're all local, and they're very committed to what we're doing.
Wow, that's amazing. So I have another question. So the eye health is obviously something that affects everybody, but is it something that is more in poverty and those kind of areas? Does it get worse? Not just because they're not getting the care that they need, but is there other things that might be causing more problems in this area? Does that question make sense?
Are you asking related to eye health?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, of course. I think poverty is the number one reason and issue. I think the other two smaller ones would be lack of awareness, because parents don't even know, or caregivers don't even know that there could be an issue. Eye health deteriorates sometimes, or children could face things like this. They think it's only for older people. So that is one. And the other is lack of access. So if a lot of the places don't have health clinics close by, I said, they have to walk a far distance for basic needs, then they're not going to be able to do that. And a lot of them, their entire focus is just on putting food on the table. So if they want to travel, if they want to walk, it's just for survival. It's almost like a luxury, these extra health and other things seems what we take for granted feels like a luxury to them.
Okay. Finally, what can our listeners do to support the work of AsianAid?
Pray. There's so many kids, so many people who are in need of care and attention, and we're not able to do everything for everybody, but prayer could go a long way. You can visit our website, asianaid.org.au. We have a link right there as soon as you enter, where you can see how you can help financially. So maybe just supporting, helping kids get a prescription glasses, that goes a long way, because it's not very expensive. So even if it's a small amount, it can make a big difference on the field, in the ground. So that is one thing they can do, support. There are different gifts that they can support related to eye health. Pick whatever, is closest to your heart and that burdens you.
Yeah, and how can they find you?
AsianAid.org.au is our website.
Wonderful. Pudence, thank you so much for joining us here on The Breakfast Show. And we really appreciate the information you've shared and the work that you are accomplishing and the whole organization. And we pray God's best for the work that you are trying to achieve.
Great talking to you.